We've been talking this morning about some things that, trying to intermix some of the things that we were able to, maybe privileged to do in India. I appreciate the prayers that have been uttered this morning. I appreciate your prayers while we were gone. We certainly needed them. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That is all we have, and that is all we need. And I'm thankful for that. I'm glad God made it simple, and He kept it that way. So in the first assembly, we talked about going to India to do a couple of things, and one of them was to evangelize. That is just means to preach the gospel, period. That's it. And that's what we did. The second thing we were asked to do was to edify, to build up preachers so that they could edify local churches. This reminded me of some things that I was made aware of many years ago, that in the 1920s, 30s, and 40s, that the Lord's Church was the fastest growing religious institution in this country. And a lot of folks were baptized into Christ. But there's a situation that occurs when there's a lot of baptisms taking place and people are become Christians. Over time, if not taught and built up in the Word of God, some people tend to come in with some things that they've already believed. And then there are men who had gone to quote-unquote colleges that knew better, and they came in and taught a lot of people some things that were contrary to God's will, and over time, the churches grew away from God rather than toward God. That might seem unusual, but that's the pattern it's been since the day of Pentecost. You start to think, well, it's no different. Day of Pentecost, they taught them some 30 years later, Paul's writing and Peter's writing concerned because he's seeing things being taught and things that should not have been taught about God's Word. And we see problems in churches and they're divided and they go off in multiple directions teaching many things. And people seem to think that's okay, but it's not. We all need to speak the same things, as he told the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. So it's a situation that is going on in India. I just want to show you, though, before I get into that, some of the places that the church is assembled. And I want to make a point about this. Most of these places you're going to see, I don't know even if any of them were purchased with collected funds. It's a unique situation over there. Most of these are where someone in the congregation provides a place, or they're privileged to be able to use a place that belongs to someone else for them to assemble in. And you might think these are wonderful places. I'm going to tell you something. We came into a beautiful building this morning. We came into a building that's comfortable. We came into comfortable seats. We came into all that we have. That's what one of the better buildings that we went into. And that was one of the only of maybe two or three buildings we went into. All the other places were outside structures like this, built by Christians on someone else's property that let them use it. They were quite thankful to have these places. They would sew things together again like old fertilizer sacks, and they would bring those in and fold them out on the ground so they had a place to stay. And their chairs, every place we went, were those plastic chairs that we have in this country, or molded chairs. This is one of the places we assembled on a Sunday morning. It was a beautiful place. We're outside, and you can't imagine. And we're there talking with other Christians about the Bible. And this was one of the locations where three men became Christians on that day. It is an amazing thing to be able to do this. You look at these buildings. And I want to go back. This is another one of the buildings that we were in. Structures, not a building. Completely open to the outside, but they made this thatched roof, and I tell you, the construction of it was absolutely amazing to me, how this was constructed and how much time they spent on this. But again, these are not what we think of in this country. This is what they have, and it doesn't bother them at all. And you can see some of the things they've laid out on the ground so that they can sit there, and we'll see a lot more pictures one time or sometime when we can get together and do that. Again, this schedule we had, among the schedule, we were to have some classes. I don't know that these names are spelled correctly because I went to look on Google Maps and some of it's spelled a little differently, and I think Cody's found that as well. But Shintapali was one of the places we went to. And most of the men in the classes in this one were younger. And what we were there for was to talk to them, to try to encourage them in knowing how to talk to other Christians and to build them up so that they would not fall away from the Word of God. Brother Campbell and his son work with 8 churches in this area. It's an amazing work that they do. And when you think about it, it's not close places. It's not like us going, you know, even to Bellbrook or someplace like that. There's some distance away where they go. This is a tribal and mountain area for the most part. Way up in the hills, way away from everybody else. Let me do this again. Most of the preachers traveled some distance, again, to be with us. They didn't have a lot of money. Thanks again to many who contributed. And I want to thank Cody. He spent a lot of his own funds of his family to do this. And certainly I would appreciate any that would be willing to help him financially. They could certainly use the money. He wanted to do this. He would have spent it anyway, but he certainly has spent a lot of his own. So just keep that in mind if you know of someone who would be willing to help in this work. We taught from the Gospels and the harmony of the Gospels and used some materials provided by David Graham. We rotated turns in teaching this material in this first class set of classes. We had morning and afternoon classes every day, except for the last day when we only had morning classes. Prim made translated copies of some of the study materials I had put together that we have talked about here and used here, where you go through the Bible and it's yes and no answers. And they were very happy to get all of this material, whatever they can get, because they have no printed material. And then I spent one of the study times talking to them about how to use that. This is the men that came. We were only supposed to have 25. And that's what we had funded for. Well, they kept coming, some of them on their own. We ended up having, I don't know, 35 or 40. We lost count. And they were so happy to sit there, and they asked questions, and we devoted some time to try to answer some questions, and they had some difficult questions, and they had some simple questions, and they asked them, and we tried to study with them. The second class we were preachers at, and I'm going to say this name wrong, probably, Linga Purim, and it was another location some distance away from the first, I think about 5 hours from the first location. I believe that's right, and Cody might correct that later. The ages varied in this group. At one point, we had 8 men from various denominations in attendance as well. Brother Rambabu works with some churches in this area, and as with all of these men, they're not working with one church. They're working with several churches in several areas over the course of a Sunday and sometimes through the week as well. It's just amazing what they do. Again, most of the preachers travel some distance to be with us. We did some different things with this. We noted some things as we were teaching. And so on the fly, we would all put together things, and David put together some things about the kingdom and the Holy Spirit. Cody put together some things about authority and how we establish authority, things that they had never heard. I mean, it might surprise you, because look, we are in a country where we've been privileged to sit at the feet of preachers and other people and study together. You don't know how. I can't describe to you the blessing we have from God in this country. I just can't describe it to you. It is amazing to me. And you see these men trying so hard to own their own, to just pick up God's Word, and they have no one else to study with. They aren't together, and they don't get these times. We suggested to them that if they could afford to, which most can't, to try to get together and work with one another and study more from God's Word, because they need it. Again, we rotated. We did this again. Same thing in this place. And so, this is some of the men that were there. And you see a varied age group. Well, when we started this one, we probably had, I don't know, 25 or 30 men present. When we got through, there was no room. They were standing. They weren't even bothering sitting down, listening to what we had to say and wanting to study. I was amazed. I just have never seen the encouragement that we receive from this, morning and afternoon. And they would be willing. You see them. They're looking at their Bibles. They're studying what we're trying to teach. This is some of the men as we're getting ready to leave and this area. And of course, all the studies, again, were outside. Just a wonderful place. It reminds me of the pattern in the New Testament, doesn't it, you? This is exactly what the problem was in the first century. Paul could go and he preached to people, and people were baptized into Christ. The problem was they had all of these teachers, these Judaizing teachers, that wanted to bring the law of Moses in with the law of Christ. They wanted the Gentiles to do the same things they had been doing. It was a transition period. It was difficult. There's a transition period going on there. That's very difficult. But Jesus taught this. From the very beginning, He told His disciples in Matthew 28, 19, and 20. As we mentioned earlier, first, go make disciples. How do you make them? Well, you baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And once they do that, they become new creatures. But there's a problem, he said. Teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. You need to go back. You got to teach them more. It's not just those primary things to become a Christian. They need to learn more. They need to learn God's Word. It's important. Paul went back on his missionary journeys. After the first one, they went back. In Acts 14, 21 through 23, it's important not only to establish the truth, to teach the truth, and to understand how to remain a Christian, but to do some other things as far as local churches are concerned. And we noted in this, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter into the kingdom of God. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. These churches, many of them, had been privileged to grow to the point where they had men in that congregation that qualified to serve as elders. That's a problem in India, just like it was in this country, just like it is with a lot of new congregations. It's very difficult to get men who are qualified to serve as elders. It's needed. That's a needed thing in the Lord's church. But God wanted this. He put men in place to teach from the very beginning because He knew the concern over what would happen in churches. He gave some to be apostles in the first century, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We need maturity in the church. I don't care where it is. And it always is a struggle when you have all of these new Christians and no one to work with them. The second handout that I gave them was about studying with new Christians about what it's all about, what the Lord has added you to, and what the church is about, just using the simple Word of God, and again, yes and no answers. If it's beneficial to them, I hope it is. They really, really need something in this area, as well as all the teaching that we all tried to do over there in building up these men, building them up in the faith. Cody gave them some... I hate to use the term. I was so proud of him. When he stood up there and talked about the authority that's in... and how you establish it. And how he pointed out clearly from the Scriptures things that they were asking questions they had never used this before. Anxious to learn how to do things and do them correctly according to God's will. Thank you, Cody. He talked about the importance of edifying. In following up this and saying God gave these men to do this, till we all come to the unity of the faith. Not separate directions, not doing things that are wrong, and the knowledge of the Son of God. To a perfect, complete man. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. By the trickery of men. In the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. The concern is that once people become Christians, I see it all the time. I see it in the United States. I see it in Canada. I see it in all of these places throughout the world. The gospel is preached. They are saved from their sins. And then the next thing, people come in and teach deceitful things. It's sad. But it's not good to remain stagnant. We need to grow. In 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. You know, it's sad that there aren't people out there trying to work with these new Christians. And I just hope and pray. Someone asked the question this morning, can you keep up with those 40? We're going to try. But it's not just the 40 over there. It's not just the ones that we were there with. It's all of them. And I want them to get beyond being babes in Christ, as many of them still are, because they don't have these privileges we have. You ought to thank God every day for what you have in this country. And I'll tell you what, if we don't have air conditioning, if the PowerPoint breaks down, if we don't have what we have, you know what? You thank God that we have what we have. It is amazing. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able. For you are still carnal when it gets in our way. It's hard to teach. For where there's envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? There's a growing process. There's got to be some spiritual growth. You can't just stay as a babe in Christ. You have some responsibilities there. But I'm going to tell you something. The illiteracy rate in that country is off the scale. It is hard for me to even imagine how few people can read. But it's going to be beautiful when the first book that they learn how to read is the Bible that was given to them. And people will teach them to read it. And they will teach them what it says, and they'll teach them how to look it up. Growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he said in 2 Peter 3:18. Not letting false doctrine take hold. Nothing new about this. The churches of Galatia were already having a problem in that first century. Again, not more than 30 plus years had passed since Christ had been resurrected from the dead. And what do we find? I marvel that you're so soon turning away from the grace of Christ to a different gospel, a different good news, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert, change, twist the gospel of Christ. But if we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be anathema, let him be accursed, let him be totally separated from God. God means it. I will not accept a false teacher. Be careful about this. As I said before, so I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that what we have received, let him be accursed. And that's why when I get up here and preach, I tell you all the time, check it out. If it's not God's Word, don't do it. Don't let me cherry pick something. Don't let me pick out something I want to teach. Let me teach it all. We need to get people to desire the Word of God as newborn babes desire milk. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, put it aside. Those are human things that we let get in our way. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. He's not talking about a babe in Christ here. He's talking about all of us being like a baby that needs its milk. Go after it. Get it. Go after God's Word. Learning the meat or solid food. Knowing it. How do we do it? We work hard at it. We have people help us with it. In Hebrews 5:12-14, for though by this time you ought to have been teachers. Because the concern here is, these people need to grow so that they can teach others. That's exactly the way God set it up. You need someone to teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. You've come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only in milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. But solid food belongs to them who are of full age. But what else is important about that? That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. How do we grow up in it? We use it. We talk to people. We let them then tell us, I don't agree with you. Well, then let's pick up God's Word and let's use it. Let's go out there and teach. Let's go out there and bang, if you will, heads with others. You know, I have that in this local congregation. From day one, Glendon was determined to bang heads with me, and he's been determined ever since. And it's a wonderful thing. I kid him about it all the time. I like it when he disagrees with me because it gives us an opportunity to sort out God's Word between us. That's what we're about, trying to learn more about it. We should be thankful we have like people like Dr. Lamb, as we found out for Kyle a few weeks ago. Not being deceived by smooth words and flattering speeches. I don't have anything. My grammar isn't always that good, and my accent gets in the way, but I'm not. Don't want to ever be by smooth words and flattering speech that I convince someone to do something. Romans 16:17-18, I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. That's a struggle in India. Pray for them there. That's a struggle in the United States. Pray for us here in all places throughout the world. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. And he's not talking about simple in that they can't understand. He's talking about simple in the gospel. They haven't grown very much. We need to teach the whole counsel of God. It needs to go out into all the world. Acts 20:26-27, he told those elders at Ephesus, I testify to you this day that I'm innocent of the blood of all men. And I can tell you something. That's exactly what we tried to do in India. We tried to be innocent of the blood of anyone that we got up in the front and talked to. We didn't want to leave there thinking we left something out from God's Word that they needed to do to become His child. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. We need to be teaching the Old Testament. One of the things I was most amazed at, all of us got up in our teaching and we were using the old to combine it with the new. And we were showing how the old was a forerunner of the new. And it was amazing to them. They said they don't do that much over there. But he wrote these things aforetime that we, through patience and comfort of the Scripture, might have hope. They were written for our learning, as Paul said. Written so that we then could understand what we have now. Written so that you could know the plan that God had for salvation. Written so that when you put it together, you understand why we're going only by the New Testament today. Written so that you could understand that the New Testament is Christ's law. That's what we would follow. I don't care what nation you're from, but that it was talked about from the very beginning. Rightly dividing the Word of God. As someone pointed out years ago, preachers used to say this from the pulpit, and many of you have heard this in this room. That's not rightly dividing and knowing the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, because you've got that in you've already got that in your Bible. You can just do that, flip it over, okay, this is old and new. No, no, no. Much more than that, as they would say. We need to be diligent to present ourselves approved unto God, not to be ashamed of it, rightly dividing the Word of truth, putting it all together, putting every Scripture that we talked about. One of the things we told them over there, combine, understand, there's much written on various subjects in the New Testament. Find out what it all says. That way somebody won't be able to deceive you into doing something that's wrong. Not selectively teaching what we already believe. Not picking up God's Word and I go there and I go, well, you know, this is what we do in the Church of Christ. No, it's not what we do in the Church of Christ. It's what was taught in the first century. 2 Corinthians 11:13-15, he talks to them. And he talks about why he came to them. And he said, why? Because I do not love you. Well, he said, God knows, but what I do I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. There's a lot of these people out there. I don't want to be one of them. I don't want to lose my soul. I don't want to work for Satan. I don't want to be deceitful. And we've got to be careful, because it can happen here, and it will happen there if they are not built up in the work of the Lord. So, what would we say? Well, I'll tell you what we told them there. Some will teach all you have to do is just believe on Christ, just believe that He's the Son of God, and you will be. That's all you ever have to do. Some teach you've got to believe and repent. You've got to make some changes in your life. If you have sin in your life, you need to get it out of your life. And then accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Some even teach that you need to believe. And I left an answer. Confess Christ. They'll even teach that. And they'll say, yes, you definitely need to confess Christ before men. And some will say, well, all you have to do is just pray through to salvation. But as we taught over there, that's not what Christ said. Christ taught, you need to hear. Christ taught, you need to believe. Christ taught, you need to repent. Christ taught, you need to confess Him. And Christ taught, you need to be baptized to be saved. I didn't start that. Jesus Christ did. Mark 16:16. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. He taught that if you nay, Luke 13:3, except you repent, you also will perish. He taught in Matthew 10:32, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. If you do not, I will deny you. That's serious. That's the Son of God. That's not Abe Martin. And then he taught to go to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Baptize, what would it be, we said. What would you possibly would be okay with God? We talked about Romans 6. We talked about Colossians 2. It's a burial. The word actually means an immersion in water, and that's what we did with people over there. They were immersed in water for the remission of their sins. Who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe me? Or are you going to turn to God's Word and believe Him? If we don't hear Him, we will be lost eternally. If you have any needs, we certainly would be glad to assist you. As we sing this song, would you please stand?